our subtitle is God Can't Do It Until You Say It. God can't do it until you say it. Ezekiel chapter 37. Every time you speak, you are prophesying your future. And the things you say today will become the life you live tomorrow. That's how much power God invested into your word. Ezekiel chapter 37, beginning with verse 1, the hand of the Lord came upon me and brought me out in the spirit of the Lord and set me down in the midst of the valley, and it was full of bones. Then he caused me to pass by them all around, and behold, there were very many in an open valley, and indeed they were very dry. Well, let's begin there. I just want to say a couple of things to you. I believe this morning, no matter what got you here, I mentioned it a minute ago, I believe in the providence of a sovereign God. You're supposed to be where you are right now. So welcome to your promised land. Welcome to the valley of the sun. Whatever got you here, there has to be the instinct in you that trusts God enough to know God's got something good for me here. I'm supposed to be used of God here, and the fulfillment of God's purpose for my life will happen here. A valley is a low plain between mountains. And here's what happens in life. We spend a great amount of time in our valleys. We dream about mountains, but we spend a lot of time in valleys. And in the valley, God teaches you how to prophesy. In the mountain, your heart can't stop praising. But in the valley, God teaches you how to prophesy your way through it into the purpose of God. Now, here's a thought. This is an important thought. The only reason God shows you how bad something is so that he can then show you how good he's going to make it. So, especially for prophetic people, because it irritates me when people claim to be prophetic and all they do is tell us how bad things are. Anybody can see what's wrong. Prophetic people see how to make it right. Anybody can see what's wrong, okay? So, the only reason God shows you is so Ezekiel is taken by God to a dry place, a death-filled place, because God wanted to do something there. He wanted to accomplish something there. It's important that we stop asking God to take us from the very place he's brought us to transform. Don't miss what God has for you here. People say, Pastor, I'm just praying God takes me to a better place. Well, I'm praying that you make the place where you are better. I just need a better job. I just need a better family. If you're not careful, you'll miss what God can do through you because you want to live in someone else's better and never be a part of the process of making things better yourself. You're anointed by God to be an instrument of change. So here he comes. He's in this valley. And then God didn't just put him in the valley. Then God takes him in a slow tour of it, an aerial tour. So he goes around and he sees two things. There's a lot of trouble. There are many dry bones, so he sees the quantity. There's a ton of them. Then he sees the quality. They're not dry. They're very dry. So the problem's big in its scope, and the problem's intense in its depth. It's a bad problem, but that's the kind of thing that excites God. On Thursday morning, I was awoken by the sound of thunder about 6:45 or 30 in the morning. And it made me laugh because when I went to bed, I just flipped through all the news channels at 10:30. And everyone said there's a zero chance of rain tomorrow. And so I wrote a little thing on Facebook. I said, this morning I woke up to the sound of God laughing. Because When people and circumstances tell you nothing can happen, that's when God laughs, because he can't wait to do the impossible. Where people say it can't happen, God loves to make it happen. I hear God laughing for you. Something's about to happen that people said could never happen in your story. So he's going to prophesy. Everybody say prophesy. Look at someone and say, it's your time to prophesy. Okay. Let's go on. The word dry, I put it in your notes. This is a big deal, because the Hebrew word for dry is yabesh. And yabesh means this. It means something withered and dry, just like the obvious. But here's its literal meaning: to be ashamed, confused, or disappointed. To be ashamed, confused, or disappointed. So then I got what God was saying to me. God is ready to heal and liberate people from shame, from confusion, from disappointment. See what happens? Disappointment is a fact of life. But if we don't deal with disappointment, it grows into discouragement. And if you let discouragement live in you long enough, it becomes depression, anxiety. It becomes a bunch of toxic, physically damaging emotions in your body. And so God says to people that are going through shame and confusion and disappointment, I'm going to heal you. There's a prophetic word for this generation. All around, we live in a culture that's been engulfed by the fire of shame, by the wild speculations of confusion, and by constant and chronic disappointment. But God says, I'm putting a word in my people's mouth to change the outcome of a dying world, of a dry bone generation. So he sees how things are, but that's not how they're going. Your story's not over. Your story's not over. So verse 3. And the Lord said to me, son of man, can these bones live? And I answered, this is such a great answer because it's just politically correct. It's the coward's way out. He said, oh Lord God, you know. So God's trying to get someone. Listen to me. God's always looking for prophetic partners. Okay? And a prophetic partner is someone who hears what God is saying and gives voice to it through their own life. Okay? So God's trying to find, because God can't do it until someone says it. God did not think, let there be light. God said. God said it and it happened. And he commissioned us in his image to be instruments of his kingdom. And your words carry authority, and your words release God's kingdom. Okay? So he said, can these bones live? He said, Lord, you know. So the Lord says, okay, let's go. Let's go, let's go. I'm ready to go. He said to me, prophesy to dead things. There's a bunch of stuff you've given up on that God hasn't. Okay? God's done with America. Stop it. You're watching too much CNN. Whatever, Fox, they're all trash. Everybody talking like they know anything. We got a new poll, we got a new this poll. Yeah. Yapping. Where is the church? The voice of hope, the voice of healing, the voice of life. Okay. He said, prophesy to dead things. Say to them, oh dry bones. See, you got to take out your empty wallet and just look at it and start prophesying. I prophesy this baby full of cash. Not just credit cards, but actual money. I prophesy to my business. I prophesy to my marriage. Prophesy to my body. Say to them, dry bones, hear the voice of God. Thus says the Lord to bones. Surely I will cause breath to enter you, and you shall live. Just touch someone and say, you shall live. Come on. I had a lady come to our church 4 years ago. In the summertime, just like this. And she was brought here every Sunday from hospice. She was from way up north, Holbrook or someplace, and they brought her every Sunday here. That's her only request, was in a dying season, let me go to that on fire church. She came to church, and she kept coming to church. She, She didn't die on their schedule. And she kept coming to church and she kept getting better. And then at the end of the summer, she checked out of hospice and moved back to Holbrook, wherever she's from. Okay? You shall live. I'll put sinews on you. Verse 6. I'll bring flesh on you. I'll cover you. See, your recovery will always happen in stages, in phases. Okay? And what this season has a value to you. Don't get upset that everything's not coming together. Just celebrate what is coming together. Okay? You will live. You'll know that I am the Lord. So I prophesied. Now, it's in your notes, but get this. Revelation comes to you so that prophecy can flow through you. So before Ezekiel prophesied to bones, God prophesied to him. So revelation comes not to make you smarter, to make you better. Now here's what happens. In the New Testament, there's a great word called two-edged sword. It's used in Hebrews 4:12. The word of God is living, powerful, sharper than a two-edged sword. It's the Greek word diastomos, mouths, two mouths. And so a two-edged sword is the portrait of rhema or revelation. And so what happens is when God speaks to you from his word, by his spirit, when he speaks to your heart, a blade is formed. One half of the two-edged sword's blade is formed. It comes to you. But it's incomplete until you add your voice to God's word. And when you say what you heard God say, you form the other side and it becomes a two-edged sword. So when you say what you hear, you'll see what you say. So I hear from God, I say it. When I say it, I'm going to see it. Okay, that's how it works. Stop asking to see things before you've said them. Okay, we hear, we say, we see. Okay, so let's go on, gets better. So he's progressively, strategically, in phases and stages, building the restoration. Then you'll know that I am the Lord, verse 7. So I prophesied as I was commanded. And as I prophesied, there was a noise. Can I have some fun with this just for a moment? You see, noise is not a bad thing. You with me? When baby Stella cries, Samantha does not go, oh my God. She says, oh, life. Wherever there's life, there's noise. I'm sorry the service is too loud for you. Bring earplugs. Okay? We're not trying to offend anybody intentionally. But wherever God is doing something, it always begins with noise. Everybody wants God to move. Nobody wants any noise. Okay? That's wanting to talk. Maybe I'll come back to it. Okay. So I prophesied. There was a noise, a sudden rattling. It's a Hebrew word for earthquake, a shaking. You with me? Word of God comes to you. It shakes everything up. Oh my God, I thought things were getting better. They are. Just survive. Whatever is still standing after the shaking, use that. See, if God takes something, you don't need it. Okay? If the shaking comes and something, whoops, I guess I don't need that. Or them, whatever happens. And bones came together, bone to bone. Everything began to reattach. I declare over you in the name of Jesus, there's such a prophetic anointing upon this, that you're in a season of repurposing. I love that word in the culture. Repurpose is when you find something old and discarded and you give it a new meaning. And God's attaching you to a season of new meaning. He's putting your bones together. He's going to connect you to the right people. He's repositioning you. okay? He's restoring you. He's putting parts of your life that you've lived too long without back into you. It's coming together, baby. Don't worry that everything isn't coming together at once. The hip bone's connected to the knee bone. Give God some time. You're better than you were, and you're going to be better than you are. Listen, people get discouraged when they realize how far they have to go when they forget how far they've already come. Remind yourself, man, oh man, I was dead. I'm alive. I'm not perfect. I'm still fumbling around a little bit, but I'm going to be better. Touch someone and say, things are getting better. Tell them that. Verse 8, indeed, as I looked, the sinews and the flesh came upon them. Come on. It's coming together. Skin covered them, there was no breath in them, okay? Now, a couple of important points. A couple years ago, when I was praying, the Lord talks to me like a father to a son. It's beautiful. He said this to me. So I was informing God of my current difficulties. God, I don't know how, I just want to remind you, look what's going on. In Jesus' name, amen. So a lot of our time in prayer is when we try to acquaint God with things that we wonder if he's aware of. And so the Lord said this sentence to me, and it went all the way through me. He said, stop praying the problem. Pray the promise. Whoa. Stop praying the problem. Pray the promise. As a young boy, I remember going to some prayer meetings, and I came home so discouraged because you found out about 16 people's all their troubles. You know, because the prayer meeting was sharing burdens, and then a 2-minute prayer at the end. Okay, Lord, help everybody. But God wants us prophetically to put our weight where our faith is, to weight the scales in favor of his promise and say to God, God, I thank you that your promise, the doctor says this, we don't ignore factual realities, but we just introduce them to the promises of God, which are superior, and we allow God's word to bring a change to our fact. Okay, so he's prophesying and everything's coming together, but there was no breath. Now, what's happening in the last year and a half or so is God's opened doors. I never asked to go preach anywhere. The Lord's opened doors, and they're significant doors. And here's my contribution. I'm going to places where there's lots of structure, lots of order, lots of kingdom principle and leadership expertise, but not much spirit. And so my contribution to the body of Christ in this season is to add a little Holy Ghost to everybody's structure, okay? Because what God's doing, God's merging the excellence of the leadership teaching of the evangelical church with the fullness of the Holy Spirit, so we can have excellence and Holy Spirit together. And when we marry these things, we're going to have an army that rises up in the last days. Unbelievable. Thanks. So he said to me, verse 9, prophesy to the breath. Now, in this chapter, these 14 verses, here's an amazing thing. The word prophesy is used 7 times. So it is thematic. This is the focus of this narrative. And the word spirit and breath, the same Hebrew word, ruach, is used 10 times. So you have here a marriage between the spirit and prophecy. So let's say it like this. Wherever the Holy Spirit is moving, prophecy is trying to be released. If the Holy Spirit is there, prophecies, it has to find a breath. So in the Old Testament, Ruach is translated three different words, okay? It's a big, huge word throughout the Old Testament. It's translated breath, it's translated wind, and it's translated spirit. I love that. Like a mighty wind. So the breath of God is released when you say something prophetically to someone, when you say something. So if you want God to move, release his breath. Release his spirit. Move the wind. So 10 times spirit, breath, 7 times prophecy. So we have to, I was telling pastors that have just great worship, maybe not as long as ours, but good worship all across the world. And I was speaking to them. I said, listen, you guys just rush to your stages and you act like God doesn't want to do something in the high place of those. Just take advantage of that. Ask the Holy Spirit. Take 2 minutes. You interrupt your programming and let the Holy Spirit move. Because there's something he said, prophesy through the breath. Prophesy, son of man, verse 9. Thus says the Lord God, come from the four winds. The four winds speak of the omnipotence of God, the omniscience of God, the whole world being covered, the complete and total sovereignty of God, especially as it relates to the Holy Spirit being the agent of the governing kingdom of God in the earth. So prophesy, for everything that God is and all that God possesses, his attributes, his glory, his presence, prophesy to the four winds, O breath, and say, come from the four winds, breath, and breathe on these slain that they may live. That they may live. That they may, your marriage, your business, your future. So I prophesied as it commanded me, verse 10, and breath came into them. And they lived and stood on their feet, an exceeding great army. Then he said to me, son of man, now he's going to build the contrast or the comparison, the metaphor between that and Israel. Now this chapter has a natural application. It happened to King Cyrus when King Cyrus released the exiles back to Israel. This happened and happened in 1948 again. Israel, when you interpret Old Testament prophecies, first the natural Israel, then the spiritual us, the church, okay? So this has had a dynamic supernatural fulfillment in Israel, and it's wanting to have a dynamic supernatural fulfillment in us, okay? So prophesied it, Israel, and say to the house of Israel, they say to me, these bones of the whole house of Israel, and they say, our bones are dry. There it is. Shame, confusion, disappointment. Our hope is lost, and we are cut off. Therefore prophesy to them and say, thus said the Lord God to broken, confused, and shamed people. Behold, O my people, I will open your graves and cause you to come out from your graves. Come on, you're coming back. You're coming back. You're coming back to life. And bring you into the land. Then you will know that I am the Lord, the God, when I've opened your graves, O my people, and brought you up from your graves. I will put my spirit in you, and you shall live. And I will place you in your own land. Then you shall know that I, the Lord, have spoken it and performed it. Whew. Couple verses. Genesis 1, it's in your note. God makes the animals. He creates them. Adam is not fallen in sin yet. He's completely, perfectly connected to God in image and idea and thought in discerning. So God creates the animals, and then Father God just steps back and he pushes Adam forward. He says, son, go name them. So here comes the animals. Here comes this animal. And Adam says, that looks like a rhinoceros. And Father God goes, oh my gosh, exactly right. That's what I would have named it. I'm going to call it what you call it. Genesis 1:19. Whatever Adam called it, God called it. Then comes the next animal. Dun, 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 dun. Yeah. That looks like a giraffe to me. And God said, Adam, way to go. That's a giraffe. The closer you get to God, the more correctly you identify people and places. and call them by their right name. The further you get from God, the more incorrectly you label people and places. And the problem with misidentifying something, mislabeling and misnaming it, is that God honors whatever you call it. Can I go there for 2 minutes? Because it's hard for God to bless your marriage when 3 times a week you call it crappy. This thing's just crappy. I can't believe it. I need out of this thing. God can't bless something until you stop cursing it. Okay? So we moved here, started a church in 1985 in Scottsdale, and was meeting with a group of pastors, and they said to me, young pastor maiden, here's a couple of secrets. In the summertime, just don't expect much from Phoenix because everybody moves. Everybody, you know, goes to San Diego. And so the attendance will drop and finance will drop and outreach will drop. And so I said, okay, well, that's just the way it'll be. I'll adjust to it. About a week later, God said to me, it doesn't have to be that way. And he said, why don't you call this summer a summer of miracles and see what I do? So I stood up at the end of May and say, I declare over this body, we're having a summer of miracles. Now, for 31 straight years, we have never not grown in the summer, never not had some of our greatest outreaches, ministry, and breakthroughs. In the summertime, we have broken the pattern by a prophetic understanding of the heart of God, because it doesn't have to be the way it is. Another verse, 1 Timothy chapter 1. Paul's writing to Timothy, the pastor of the church at Ephesus, this charge I commit to you, verse 18, son Timothy, according to the prophecies previously made concerning you, that by these prophecies you may wage a good warfare. Your prophecy is not to have a shelf life of 15 minutes to make you feel good in a service. It's to be a tool for you to use the rest of your life. Take your prophecy out and beat the devil's brains out with it. Yeah, calling things that are not as though they were. Use your prophetic word. Use it like a weapon. Use it as a tool. Use it for God's purpose in your life. So let's have some fun. I need 30 volunteers, and there's a little physicality involved in this, and if you have a dress on, ladies, I can't have you up here. So, but I need 30 young people or people that think you're young. Come up here and help me on the stage. Come on, 30 quickly. I need 30 volunteers. Just come up here and get behind me on the stage. Whoever wants to help me. Hey, Teen Challenge fellas, going to help me? Come on, give it up for Team Challenge, guys. Come on, awesome. Okay, great. So, I had a dream about what we're about to do. So, you're fulfilling my dreams. I just want to thank God for you. So, here's what I need you to do from all the way from up here to the very back. I need everybody to find a spot, then lay down. Okay, find a spot on the ground. There's some up here in front of the pulpit here. Lots of room. Make sure you're not laying on anybody else. Spread out. Okay. So Ezekiel comes to a place filled with dry bones. They're dead. They're very dry. And God shows him how things are. Now, anybody can see what's wrong. Prophetic people see how to make it right. And God says, I'm going to make this right. Touch someone and say, God's going to make it right. So he needs partners. He needs our engagement. He needs our participation. So Ezekiel starts prophesying two dead things to live. And he says, bones, live! And so they started making noise and shaking. So everybody on the stage, just with your feet and hands, just start pounding the stage like this. Don't get upset. When you really start pressing into prophetic purpose, a lot of noise starts happening. a lot of chirping, a lot of chatter, a lot of criticism, a lot of complaint, whatever it is. Don't let the noise stop you from going forward. It's not a bad thing. Come on, it's not a bad thing. Okay, so then bones started attaching. Everything started coming together. So I loosen upon you guys and upon the whole church a season of supernatural restoration when God's putting things. So all everybody on the stage, just stand up, but don't move. So your structure is restored, but your breath's not restored. So you're living, but not really. Okay? So this is a portrait of the American church. All structure, no spirit. So that's okay. All structure. I mean, some of the genius, the stuff that I hear, the people that I'm exposed to, they are geniuses about leadership truth. And about, in fact, we're adding structure to our church because we have a lot of spirit and sometimes we need more structure here. So God's helping us, okay? So I just want to say this to you. God is going to put it together. If you can keep saying the right thing long enough, everything that's out of place will come into place. And everything that's broken will be restored. And God will start attaching. Everybody that should be with you will come. And God will bring all kinds of miraculous restoration. And so the Lord said to Ezekiel, now prophesy spirit, breath, wind, ruach. So he said, breath, come. So everybody lift up your hands and act like you're alive now and make noise and praise God. Yeah, woo. Yeah. Alive. So I want to say to you, in Jesus' name, breath comes, spirit comes, life comes to you in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Now, okay, here's what it. One more thing, then I'm done. So now everybody here, act like you're in the army. Okay, so we're going to be at attention. So God says, the problem with restored people is sometimes they stop hearing from God when they get what they wanted from God and never give God back to him what he wants from them. So God says, I want an army. Yeah. Let's be the bride that wore army boots. The bride of Christ. Let's be the love boat with bazookas. Okay? So God says, I want an army. And Ezekiel says, when they came to their full restoration, see, they came to God. See, when I was a young pastor, I spent a lot of my time belonging to the Trinity, informing God of what he should do. Oh, God! But after a while, some hardships and humbling, I resigned from the Trinity. And now here's how I respond to God every day. Michael Maiden reporting for duty. What do you want to do? So, people say, well, Pastor, doing that doesn't directly benefit the church. It doesn't matter. I'm not obeying my own heart or the voice of people. When God tells us to do something, we just do it. We don't weigh the benefit and cost. We simply want to please the Father's heart. So what I'm going to do, I'm going to count to three, and I want all the folks up here, you're going to roar, not with like a, oh, I'm so happy. You're going to roar like an army. And a couple of moments into their roar, I want everyone in the church to stand and roar with them. Because I declare to you, God's restoring you, positioning you, and releasing you to winds of victory. Are you guys ready to roar? Okay. Thank you, God. I pray for this prophetic act to have a supernatural implication and release your kingdom to your bride today. In the name of Jesus. Get ready. We'll count three. One, two, three. Roar! Yeah. Woo! I'd like you to do, please, just before we close, in closing, here's what I want you to do. I want you to take something back today. Something in your life that you've misidentified, mislabeled, and misnamed, God's ready to unleash a prophecy to. Maybe it's just something, your finances, your health, your future, your business, your ministry, your marriage, your children, whatever it is. Would you just say, Holy Spirit, speak to me about anything you want to do in my world. I'm ready to hear in Jesus' name. Say, forgive me for misidentifying people and places. Fill me with revelation about what you want to do in Jesus' name. Now just hang there for a minute and let the Lord release something. Just pray something. I speak a blessing to my children, my grandchildren, this church. I've been declaring for 10 days, it's a new season. There's someone in your world, God's ready to unleash a prophecy of restoration. They look bad, they're in confusion, shame, and disappointment, but God's ready to bring life through your voice. Speak, God, your life, your grace, your spirit, your love, your kingdom, your restoration, your redemption, your deliverance, your healing. In Jesus' name. Thank you, God. Thank you, God. Now say this. I'm anointed to prophesy. And I'm going to prophesy like never before. In Jesus' name, amen. Hey, thank my drama team. Thank you, guys. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Beautiful, 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 beautiful. Thank you, guys. Wonderful, wonderful. Oh, wonderful, 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 wonderful. Now, here's what I want us to do, because God's not done. Today, somebody here came in like a dry bone, but you're going out alive. Okay? Prayer team, join me down front. A miracle can happen now.
For the Spirit of the Lord is here.
Come on, the evidence.
The evidence is all around. Spirit of the Lord.
Listen, physical healings are about to break out in a miraculous way. If you need a healing in your body, let us pray for you today. Come down front and receive prayer. If you've been going through a difficult season and say, Pastor, this message was for me, I just want some more prayer. Come and let a prophetic prayer bring life and breath into your world. If you receive Christ today, come back tonight for baptism. Talk to someone at the altar too also. Anyone wanting prayer, please join us now. Come forward, let God do a miracle in this moment.
For the Spirit of the Lord,
the evidence is all around.
The evidence is all around that the Spirit of the Lord is here.
Spirit of God.
Spirit of God, fall fresh on.